Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we are finishing up Peter's treatment of divine judgment in 2 Peter chapter 2. You recall that there is one extended sentence from verse 4 to the middle of verse 10, in which Peter gives us three examples of divine judgment in days gone by. Number one, God judged angels that sinned. Number two, God judged the wicked in the days of Noah. And number three, God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But also the reminder that in the case of human judgment, God also delivers the righteous, judging the unrighteous, but delivering the righteous, as he did Noah in the case of the flood, and Lot in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. But, as you remember, no sinning angel was delivered. Not a single one. The people who were delivered from the judgment of the flood and the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah were not sinless people. They were sinners, but they were justified sinners, redeemed sinners. They were believing sinners. But there was no corresponding deliverance of fallen angels. But after giving the history of God's judgment upon those in the past, Peter summarizes by giving a statement of the certainty of judgment in the future. And that is what we are looking at as we are wrapping up this study. Please join me on this Tuesday, February 24, and please remember that we depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners to continue this ministry. So here is the statement that concludes this section. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. So, all those who are ungodly, meaning those who have continued in their sinfulness without repentance, without faith in the promises of God. Because again, everybody is ungodly. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody is ungodly, but those who flee to Christ are made godly. God makes godly saints out of ungodly sinners. And God delivers his people, his believing ones, those that he has made righteous by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God delivers them from judgment, but all those who are not in Christ are certain to face divine judgment. God knows how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And then Peter singles out two categories for special mention, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Those two categories. Again, not to say that these two categories are the only sins that meet this fate. Peter says, all those, God knows how to reserve the unjust, all the unjust, under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially, there is a special emphasis here, not to say that these are the only ones who are judged, but to say that there is special judgment for those who fit into this category. And as I mentioned on the broadcast yesterday, that probably means that God does judge some sinners more harshly than others. There is special judgment for certain sins. There probably are degrees of punishment in hell. But at any rate, these two sins are singled out for particular mention. Number one, sexual immorality, and number two, anti-authoritarianism. Sexual immorality. The exact statement says, those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Those who walk. That is, those who habitually indulge in sexually corrupt desires. Those who follow corrupt desires. Those who indulge the flesh. Peter's not talking about someone who occasionally stumbles into immorality, who falls into sexual sin and repents of his sin and walks anew in the paths of righteousness. David would be a famous example of someone who fell into grievous sin, fell into shameful adultery with Bathsheba, as nearly everybody knows. People who know almost nothing about the Bible usually know about the sin of David, how he sinned with Bathsheba, and that becomes an encouragement to some people that it's not such a bad thing. But let the words of Peter assure you that it is a bad thing. Especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And he's talking about sexual uncleanness. Those who pursue a lifestyle of immorality. Those who habitually live in sexual impurity. Those who go from one sexual encounter to another, from one sexual partner to another, from one sexual practice to another, outside the purity of the marriage bed. Those who do that are singled out for special judgment, the lust of uncleanness. This seems to indicate in longing for the sordid, going after flesh in defiling lust, a passionate longing for defilement. Now, folks, there are people like that. And I may be talking to some today whose lives are consumed by sexual thoughts, sexual desires, and deviant ones at that. And that can fall into a lot of different categories. But people who go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sexual impurity, because after pursuing sexual immorality at a certain level, that which is sinful outside the bounds of the purity of marriage, after a while, that doesn't satisfy anymore, so they have to find a new level of sexual excitement. And then after a while, even another level of sexual excitement, going farther down, 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 down in their sexual experiences, whether it be in the multiplicity of partners, whether it be in the growing debauchery and deviousness of their various practices. But those are singled out here for special judgment by God. If that describes you, dear friend, I plead with you to acknowledge your sin before a holy God and to flee to Jesus Christ and cast yourself upon his mercy to cleanse you from your sin and to break the power of your sexual bondage. We even talk about it today in psychological terms. People who are addicted to pornography and who are sex maniacs of one kind or another, who are addicted to fornication of various kinds. Well, that's what Peter's describing as those who are singled out for special judgment by God, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, That's exactly what he's talking about. And then the second category is anti-authoritarianism, those who despise authority, those who despise kuriates, and that literally is lordship. Listen to me. Those who despise lordship, those who despise authority, they disdain it, which is the opposite of honoring it and respecting it. These even may be those who identify with Christ but reject his authority. I may be talking to some in that category today. Probably am. Jesus had a word for you. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say to you?" That is a contradiction. You call Jesus Lord, which means master, boss, king, ruler. You use the terms of his lordship, but you refused to submit to the authority of his lordship. You despise authority. You despise kuriates, lordship. Those who are self-willed, those who are rebellious, and who manifest their self-willed rebellion in various ways, sometimes by their denying Scripture, looking to find fault with it in every way that they can, looking to find contradictions, which in many cases prove not to be contradictions at all, but people who are looking for this seem to be able to find them even where they don't exist, or those who just refuse to pay attention to Scripture at all. They ignore it because, after all, the will of Christ is revealed in Scripture, and if you despise his authority, then you don't care to know what he says. And it doesn't stop there. Those who despise the authority of God also show dishonor to God-ordained human authority. I am concerned about those who demonstrate an extreme anti-government attitude. Now, I recognize that there are plenty of things to be concerned about in our government, our national government, and lower levels of government. I recognize that there are many things to criticize and to be concerned about, but dear friend, don't slip into the category of that person who has an angry, anti-authoritarian attitude toward human government in general. Because that is just a manifestation of an anti-authoritarian attitude toward God and his rightful rule in your life. And sometimes those who have this anti-authoritarian attitude toward government honor God with their lips. They're all for God and country, but they are unwilling to submit to his authority in their lives, and their lives show it. Their attitude is, nobody going to tell me what to do. I live my life my way. I did it my way. I insist upon doing it my way. Nobody rules over me. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm my own boss, and I'm not going to allow myself to be under the authority of anyone. Well, if you are under the authority of God, then you'll be under those that God in his word tells you you ought to be submitted to in the area of human government and so forth. Be careful that you don't have an anti-authoritarian attitude toward God himself. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.